Alexa, call the basement.
Wow. Peak laziness, 2018. This week on Dueling Review, we review Archie, 1941, number one. The historic, groundbreaking miniseries starts here. Archie's been around for over 75 years and has been through many significant moments in time, but never before have we seen the characters take on real-world events as they unfold. World War II is looming, and Archie and many young men from Riverdale are close to enlistment age. If you're a Riverdale teen, how would you cope with a looming world-changing event? A lot of publicity coming from Archie Comics regarding Archie 1941.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I thought when this was first announced, you were not kind of in favor of this. You were like, meh.
Well, I had that moment of, what is this going to be?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when a new book comes out, you obviously say to yourself, well, what's the gimmick here? And I'm thinking, Archie Comics, the first appearance of Archie in like Pep number 20.
Yeah, it was 38?
I want to say it was 41.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, Pep Comics number 22 was the first appearance of Archie. And if my brain, you know, does it correctly, I want to say it was 41. So what I'm thinking is, oh, is this going to be a retro thing?
Hmm.
Or are they going to go back? Or are they going to try and do Archie like super realistic?
Yeah.
Yeah. First appearance of Archie, it looks like, is December 1941.
Oh, okay.
So this book coming out, I'm like, what's it going to be? And then, of course, I was amused or perhaps bemused by the cover where they put Jughead in a period appropriate hat, even though the crown that he wears is, in fact, a period-appropriate hat for 1941. It's just that people have forgotten what it actually was.
Well,
and I don't know.
I don't know. I am wondering if mm-hmm. that is not intentional, not to say, oh, we're changing things just to change things and to be, you know, relevant to what we, you know, what was a period-appropriate time, as
right.
more of an indicator that this book is about Archie growing up. For
right.
as long as we've known Archie, beyond the, you know, afterlife with Archie and Archie gets married or whatever those series were.
Right. Even in Life with Archie, he was still basically the same goofy kid.
Right. But here, this is graduation. And this whole first issue is about, oh, you're a man now. You're an adult now. And maybe there's a symbolism there with Jughead switching out his hats from something that would have been something that a child would wear to something that an adult would wear. And they're trying to maybe subtly indicate that. And for the rest of this series, and the other thing about it is we follow Archie generally in high school.
Right.
And this is Archie out of high school. He has just graduated from high school in 1941. He turns 18 in August, and he is suffering this ennui, this really kind of severe depression.
Can you say ennui again?
Ennui.
I have this ennui.
He is suffering from depression. He really has no direction. He doesn't know what he wants to do in his life. He knows that, you know, the world right now is pretty awful because of what's going on with Europe. And it's very clear that we are leading up to the Pearl Harbor attack on December 7th. And Archie potentially deciding whether he wants to go into the war or not. And there are indicators throughout this issue of, you know, a bunch of people pushing, forcing, hoping, wishing things for Archie. Like his dad is like, why don't you become a man? Get a job. When I was your age, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, his girlfriend, Betty is just trying to be like, oh, come on, everything's going to be okay. And Jughead's like, come on, brush it off. And then you've got even Pop in the chocolate shop where he's like, please, please, no, not these kids. Please
right.
don't. Please don't take these kids.
Don't send these kids off to, yeah. And, you know, you have to look at this. 1941, that means Pop was probably of the appropriate age
for
have fought
World
in the War. Big War.
Yeah. And so this what I initially thought was going to be a funny reboot.
Right.
Because we've seen that before. Well, we've seen Mark Waid write a heartfelt Archie piece when he did his Archie series.
Right.
And this suddenly becomes something that really questions, what does it mean to be an adult? What does it mean to be a man for whatever Archie is trying to do?
Right.
And what is life like for someone growing up at that turning point when there is a major world event, a major world war about to erupt all across the globe? And I know it's set in 1941 because that's far enough away where we can not accuse anyone of being political, but, you know, we are just at the, what, 17th anniversary of a major event that sent a lot of people off to fight and die.
Yep.
And this really has a lot of, wow, what if this was the 1950s and this was the Korean War? What if this was the late 60s, early 70s, and this is the Vietnam War? Or what if it is, the Iraq War I or Iraq War II?
Right, 1994.
You could plop this story into any of those places, but I think they wisely chose 1941, not only because that's the year that we get introduced to Archie Andrews,
right,
but also because it's far enough away to where you can kind of get away from the political screaming that some people will do. Oh, you're just trying to make political statements here.
Right. You can get to a point where it becomes, I don't want to say acceptable, because I mean, it's a story that someone's writing.
Right.
But I think it becomes something that is less unpalatable to those people who have no sense of, you know, theme or tone or overarching archetypical stuff in a book.
Right.
You know, if somebody's looking at this story, I think that there's a different problem than the politics of it. The is this saying something about the certain people? No, it's just telling a really depressing story.
Yeah, no, Archie is really depressed. I mean, it's like, seriously, what is going on here that you're like, is he going to pull a gun out and shoot himself kind of thing?
I never got that level, but it's just throughout it, Archie's just like, oh, whoa.
I mean, he starts fights with Reggie for no reason.
He ends a fight with Reggie. That's the point where I knew that something was seriously wrong with Archie, because Reggie did some stupid hijinks thing.
Yeah, hit him in the head with a beach ball.
Yeah, something stupid. And Archie just hauled off and knocked his block off.
He tells off
where even his friends are shocked.
He tells off Veronica.
Yeah.
Betty tries to get him a really nice picture for his birthday of the two of them, and he just kind of tosses it on the ground and walks off and kind of breaks up with her. I mean, he is seriously depressed to the point where at the end of this issue, he's in the movie theater by himself watching the news on the march and the newsreel person saying, hey, we could very easily be seeing the U.S. enter this war very soon. And you see that reaction from Archie of, oh, really? Like, maybe this is his purpose. Maybe it's his purpose to go and fight. Maybe this is the thing that he has been questioning all summer long of, you know, why he doesn't feel anything. You know, if Archie survives the war, he's going to have a lot more issues to deal with when he gets back. Because if he's depressed now, wait till he comes back after World War II.
Did you just imply that Archie Andrews is going to die in combat?
No, no. I'm just saying if he comes back, they need to deal with some, hey, this is not your Archie comics, man. Anything could happen.
No, it's definitely not your mom's
comics. And if they're going to go into this teenage depression stuff, what happens when Archie is confronted with the horrors of war?
Oh boy.
What'd you think of Peter Krause's art?
I really enjoy Peter Krause's art. I feel like I was trying to think, where do I know this guy from? And I think he did some Quasar issues, but
oh really?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I feel like the best part about it is it's hard to do realism in comic books and have it be realistic, because even stories that we say, yeah, this is a realistic artist, it's not.
No, it is
realism.
Not.
It's not like photorealism. And this story, there's a point where Archie's just sitting at his table, depressed in the morning with a bowl of orange juice and, you know, a bottle of Pep cereal, which is a didn't joke again. But it looks like what I imagine a 40s kitchen would look like, which is to say, you know, kitchens my mom worked with in the 70s, because I'm from Kansas and it's 20 years behind.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it, too. I mean, there is a weird realism to it where I think everybody has this idea of what things look like just prior to World War II, you know, because we're just coming out of the Depression, and many would argue still in the middle of a depression. In the 1940s, but by 1938, 1940, we're certainly starting to make that swing around. But there's a certain look to stuff, and this kind of I had the same reaction as when I look at pre-World War II color photographs, where it's just like, oh, everything just kind of looks normal. Whereas most of our historical, you know, documents are black and white, so you start to think in a different way. But then when you see it in color, you're like, oh, this is not very different from our own time, which again, may be tying back into this idea that the story could be told today, but we chose to tell it in 1941. I really enjoyed the art. I really enjoyed the story. I really like this issue a whole lot. It's very powerful. I mean, it is not your typical Archie does something stupid and everybody's going hearty, har, har. This is serious, man.
Yeah, this is almost too serious, at least for my taste, because they make Betty Cooper cry.
Yeah.
If you make Betty Cooper cry, you are a monster. That's just awful.
Well, I was wondering if this is too far off to the one of the sides, you pick it left or right, of what people would expect from Archie. Because, you know, the Archie Andrews series that we've been reading has been fun. It's got some serious moments with Betty, you know, in the car crash and all of that.
Right.
You know, it's had some, it's funny moments.
Yeah.
But it's also been very serious. We've also had, you know, Afterlife with Archie with the zombies. We've had the current crazy Jughead werewolf series.
Yeah, Jughead the Hunger.
But we also had,
you alluded to the Life with Archie series where they had parallel tracks where he had married Veronica or married Betty.
Yeah. And so this one, wow, it's a far cry from the happy-go-lucky reprints that we're seeing every month from Archie Comics of comics from days gone by.
Right. It's not an actual 1941 Archie's comic.
And is that too far then, in your view?
I don't think it's necessarily too far, but for me, when I'm reading this story, I like the story. I like the characters. I like the dialogue. I feel like this is a story that could be really fascinating. I just don't know that I care about it being told about the cartoon kids from Riverdale. And maybe it's just the fact that the Archie characters have been around for so long. I mean, when I was a little kid, you could watch Archie on Saturday mornings and hear Dallas McKinnon as the voice of Archie, you know, Archie Andrews. And just, I don't know. I felt like I wanted to like this more than I did. And I think that if this were not Archie Andrews possibly going off to war, I might say, yeah, this is a winner. This is absolutely above board, amazing stuff from Wade. As it is, it's a really strong story. It's really strong thematically. I don't know. I don't understand why Alfred Hitchcock is playing Mr. Weatherby. And I feel like,
I mean, the story starts off super depressed, right? I mean, not only, you know, Archie and Jughead are wandering through the halls of Riverdale High and talking about, yeah, can you remember all these crazy antics that we did? And then they realize they're late for their
graduation
and Archie's going across the stage and Mr. Weatherby's like, Archie Andrews, finally. And he's like, oh, you're happy that I graduated? And he goes, no, I'm glad to be rid of you. And it's like, wow, man.
That's cruel.
Be a little
nicer.
And
there's an indication in the first pages where they start talking about flashbacks and things that happened. And they mention Moose. And I'm like, did they kill Moose? Is Moose dead? I don't know, because Archie seems really sad to talk about Moose for a second.
Well, he does pause. I mean, maybe there is something. Maybe that is something that's going to come up in the story. I have no idea.
They killed Moose.
But maybe he did. Maybe he's somebody that, you know, ran off to Canada and enlisted in the war when he was 16, like Henry Jones did. And who knows? I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. I mean, you really don't see. I mean, I was surprised that Veronica and Reggie were delegated to these just one, you know, bit moments where it's like, oh, that's what they're doing. Okay.
Well, I think that if you're doing a realistic story, you have to address the fact that realistically, Archie Andrews is only ever going to end up with Betty. You have to admit if he comes back from Europe,
yes.
If he's going to end up with either of these girls, it's going to have to be Betty, because he and Veronica would be an utter train wreck. And there would be no way for that relationship to last more than half an hour.
No, you don't know.
I do know.
They did that whole afterlife, what was the name of that series where he married
Life
Veronica?
With Archie.
Life with Archie, yeah.
You remember how he died?
Yeah, he died.
At the end of it?
Yeah.
Because he married Veronica? Yeah. Don't marry Veronica.
Hey, you know what?
It will end badly.
You know what? He's going to die when he marries Betty, too.
Well, death, yeah, he's going to die eventually.
Death stalks us all. Bottom line, Matthew.
That's not what I want from my Riverdale. I don't want Riverdale to be death stalking us.
Bottom line for you, Matthew, Archie 1941, number one.
This is definitely a borrow for me. I mean, I read it. I felt like it was good. I feel like there are a lot of things to appreciate, and there's nothing here that's done badly. It's just not for me. It's not my thing, and that's okay. It's still a book that I would say you may want to check out, but I cannot say rush right out in a buying frenzy because I'm too depressed.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I don't know what it was, but something about this book spoke to me, and I was like, wow, this is really good. This is really deep. Mark Waid generally delivers hard with first issues on things, and certainly Brian Augustine, or is it Augustine? Brian Augustine. Together, they just knocked this out of the park with a really solid storytelling. And I want to see what happens next. And if we have to follow 5 issues or 6 issues or a year of Archie at War, I'm gonna read that. I mean, what happens if he is 4F or something? And then what happens to him? You're right. What happened to Moose?
4F. He's Archie. He's the All-American teen.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. But
he's
for now, I'm saying go check it out. Matthew says, give it a borrow.
Yeah, definitely.
What is coming out next week? Well, Boom Studios next week has Black Badge number 2, By Night number 4, Lumberjanes number 54.
Black Badge, Bam, Alam.
Yeah, Steven Universe ongoing number 20, and the WWE NXT Takeover Into the Fire number 1. Dark Horse Comics has, isn't that how you say it? Or is it WWE NXT?
No, I was just laughing at Into the Fire. Reminded me of Wet Hot American Summer.
There you go. Dark Horse Comics has Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 5. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, season 12. The Reckoning, number 4. That's the final issue there. And if I'm not mistaken, that is the end of the Buffy. I think that's the end of Buffy at Dark Horse.
I think that's the end of Buffy in comics for now.
No, she's gonna wind up over at Boom Studios.
You think?
Oh, yeah. I'm 100% guaranteed it'll be over at Boom Studios.
That's where Angel is now.
That is where Firefly is at.
Serenitry.
Serenity is over there. And since Fox has made a major monetary investment into Boom Studios, and now Disney owns Fox, and Boom is tied in with that, and because we've already got one of the Joss Whedon properties at Boom, yeah, Buffy will go to Boom. Buffy is still popular enough to make money.
The Weebopperties, if you will.
Dark Horse Comics also has Aether, the Copper Golems, number 5 of 5, the final issue there. And Terminator, Sector Wars, number 2. I thought it said Termination there for a minute, and I was like, oh, no, not again. DC Comics has Aquaman, number 40, Batman, number 55, Batman Damned, number 1 of 3. I don't know. Was that the one?
Oh, that's the one with Etrigan.
Yeah. I want to read that one. That one sounds fine. Yeah, that one sounds a lot of fun. Green Lanterns 55, Injustice number 2, Justice League number 8. Also, Matthew, Justice League No Justice gets a trade paperback.
No.
Isn't that the one where Roy gets his arm ripped off?
No, you're thinking of Cry for Justice.
Oh, Cry for Justice. Okay.
No Justice is the one where the team splits up into 4 teams in space and time, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, all right.
Where Wonder Woman has a team, and Superman has a team, and Cyborg has a team, and
I see.
All the Teen Titans are in it.
Mr. Miracle number 11 of 12 finally hits the shelves, as does Nightwing number 49, and Teen Titans number 22. Over at Dynamite Entertainment, they have Jeepers Creepers number 5 and John Wick number 3. They also have Robots versus Princesses number 2, for those of you that don't prefer horror or crazy action. Yeah. Although Robots versus Princesses.
In that.
Yeah, there was, but a little bit
there
lighter.
There probably will be too.
A little bit lighter and a little bit more kid-friendly than the previous two. IDW Publishing has The DuckTales number 12, Sonic the Hedgehog number 9, Sword of Ages number 5, TMNT Ongoing 86, and Uncle Scrooge number 40. A lot of Disney comics over there at the IDW Publishing. Image Comics. Wow, Image has so many comics coming out next week. They have the Aphrodite V, number 3.
I believe it's pronounced Iv.
No, it's just V. There's no IV before it.
Iv.
Nope. Bonehead number 4.
This is Iv.
Oh, okay. Burnouts number 1. Coyotes number 6. Crude number 6. Curse Words number 16. Days of Hate number 8. 8 and 8. Hackslash Resurrection number 11, Hit Girl number 8, Kick Ass number 7, Rumble number 7, 7 to Eternity number 11. And then, of course, you also have some Walking Dead stuff. Marvel Comics has Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 1. Ooh, that could be a lot of fun. Avengers number 8, Captain America Annual number 1, Doctor Strange number 5, The Edge of Spider-Geddon number 3. Oh, what's going to be happening there?
That is such a dumb title.
The Edge of Spider-Geddon, the Spider-Verse.
That doesn't even make sense.
The Spider-Verse's revenge.
The Edge of Wetness.
That too. Franklin Richards' Fantastic Year number 1. That's a $7.99 book. What the heck is that going to be about?
I bet it's about Franklin Richards.
I know, but a $7.99 book?
At the dawn of World War II.
Oh, hey, so listen.
Graduating from preschool and realizing that it's time to go off and die.
We can't put out information. I'm not supposed to talk about it until 11 a.m. tomorrow. But let me just say this. The comic sales in August, the only reason why I think why there was a slight uptick in the amount of dollars brought in is because there are two books in the top 10 that have cover prices of $5.99.
Oh.
And those two comics came in at number 1 and number 2. And I think that doesn't hurt any kind of overall spoilers that everyone's waiting to talk about tomorrow morning. But holy crap, yeah. I looked at that and said, there are two books on here that are in the top two positions that are $6 books. And if you don't think that if you don't think some publisher is going to be looking at that and saying, hey, let's make all of our books $5.99.
Right.
Man, wait till Return of Wolverine number 1 arrives next week with a $4.99 cover price. Thor number 5, True Believers Punisher, gets a dollar cover price. Venom number 6 and X-Men Gold number 36. In all the rest category, we have Bloodborne number 5.
Bloodborne.
Britannia Lost Eagles of Rome number 3. I hear that's a really good series.
Is Britannia the one with the girl with the armored hat?
No, this is the Roman. What is he called? He's essentially a detective in Roman times. And he's being tasked with going on with these things. So, yeah, it's
Detective Centurion.
Yeah, that's what he is. Detective Centurion. Delinquent Housewife Graphic Novel Volume 1.
I used to watch that on ABC on Sunday night.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, Delinquent Housewives. It had Lois Lane in it. And,
oh, no, that was a different thing.
And the redhead
these are not,
from Melrose
I don't think
Plains.
That these are the same things. Junior High Horrors number 1. Little Girl
horrors?
Number 2. Horrors, you know, the scary things that jump out at you.
Right.
We're getting close to the Octobers.
Right.
I mean...
I did not hear horrors the first time, and
yes,
I wanted to
that's because you need
them.
To clean out your ear roars.
No, it's because you were just talking about the Delinquent Housewives.
Yeah, yeah. And see where your mind is. Lookers, Ember number 11. There's
that's
a lot.
L, right?
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of variant covers on that one. Pink
it have
Panther.
A nude cover?
It does have a nude cover. It has several nude covers. It has several nude torn covers. It has a luscious nude cover. And a Red Hot nude cover. And a Sexy Spies nude cover. A workout
I hope the Red
nude.
Hot nude cover is a girl watching, like, Netflix with a Red Hot burrito, just, like, totally having dinner, just
Reminds
hanging
me, I have a Red Hot burrito waiting for me upstairs. Revenge of Wonderland, number 3. Shadow Man, number 7. And let's see, what else do we have? Zombie Tramp Origins. Oh, that's really expensive. Oh, that's because it's a hardcover as a trade paperback.
Right,
I was like,
it's
what? No, it's $24.99. And then I was like, oh, it's because it's the trade paperback.
It's not the actual original cover.
Yeah, no. It's so what are we going to review next week? Well, dear listeners, that is totally up to you. And you're going to listen to Matthew explain how that happens.
The thing about it is now here in the Dueling Review Corner, everything is driven by you, the fans. And what that means is you can go to patreon.com/majorspoilers. You don't have to be a Major Spoilers patron, but while you're there, if you wanted to kick in a little bit, every little bit will help. You get to vote on whatever books are up there, and you can say, we want you to cover Zombie Tramp number 25. And Steven and I, based on whether or not someone else has actually called it, which does sometimes happen, and whether we have access to it, some of the super minor publishers we may not be able to
get. Oh,
no,
Zombie Tramp, we have access to them. That's Action Comics Danger Zone imprint that has all that stuff.
Steven.
Yeah.
Steven.
Yeah.
Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
But you get to vote, we get to read, and if we love it, then we won't hate you the next time you throw us another terrible book.
We might.
Well, we won't hate him as much.
I mean, James Thatcher is still apologizing weeks and weeks and weeks later.
For that udon special?
Yes, for that udon special.
Well, you know, sometimes you
have
the udon.
I went to Noodle Factory the other day and had some udon.
Yeah. Do you have the udon? It was good, yeah. I had some usagi the other day that was, it was good. Some usagi and then a side of yojimbo.
Mmm.
Yeah, you get the yojimbo and you put like the green stuff on it.
Yeah, you get some yojimbo wasabi.
Yeah, yojimbo wasabi is what it is.
All right, then, so people head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers.
I think I had a side of Akira Kurosawa.
And they cast their vote for what comic they want us to review. And while they're over there, they may want to poke around and see what other freebies we have over there. In fact, in order for you to vote in this dueling review thing, you do not have to be a patron. This is open to everybody, right. Even you. Not you, but you.
No.
But I think even once you poke around a little bit and see some of the other things that you have over there, Matthew, at the patreon.com/majorspoilers,
right.
Perhaps they will want to become a patron for as little as maybe $5 a month.
Yeah, and the thing about it that's really great about going to patreon.com/majorspoilers is you'll see that not only will you have access to behind-the-scenes discussions, some sketchbook material. If you love the Critical Hit, there's Critical Hit stuff behind the scenes. If you love the Flash television program as seen on the CW on Tuesday nights when the season comes back around, Steven and I actually do a fan podcast about CW television series The Flash.
Oh, yeah, it's coming back October 9th.
October 9th, which means starting October 9th, we're going to have new episodes of Flashback for all the patrons. Plus, you get access to bonus tracks where we do commentary along with famous awesome movies. I'm still trying to talk Steven into letting me be a part of the Rogue One crew.
Maybe. We never know. We have to hit that goal first. We are so close to hitting that goal. We're like less than $50 away. We need 10 of you listening right now who are not currently patrons to head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers and just become $5 a month members. We'll be over that goal. You'll be able to get a new bonus tracks featuring the Rogue One. Plus, you'll have access to all of the other Star Wars commentary tracks that we have put together. Lots of fun, lots of good information. Plus, all the other bonus tracks and all the other cool stuff, including, Matthew, can you believe this? People at the $5 and up level get access to our long-running, almost 10 years now, Real Play Podcast, Critical Hit. Yeah. You get access to those episodes a week before everyone else.
And that is definitely worth the price of admission. If you go to $7.50 or more, you actually get access to podcast pro tips.
Oh, yeah, I've got to write a couple of those.
Yeah, Steven shares his best practices. And, you know, Steven puts together like 10 Major Spoilers podcasts a week. So this is going to be tutorial information. This is going to be all of the stuff that you would need to know to make podcasts almost, but not as good as Steven, because he doesn't ever give away all of his secrets.
He's getting pretty close. Matthew, he's where like, do people need to go for all of this? All of this. All of this.
All of this is available for you only at patreon.com/majorspoilers.
That wraps it up for this installment of Dueling Review. Thank you so much for being a part of everything we do at Major Spoilers. We're going to be back next week to find out what we're going to review. What are you going to vote for? But until then, when we come back, just wait for Matthew to cry out into the darkness.
Is someone being a negative Nancy?
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.